God bless you.
Good morning, beloved.
Good morning.
Did you know the Lord refers to us as beloved? And I might say that the Lord's way is the best way. It's not what's legal or secular, but it's what's holy and sacred. So the Lord's way is definitely the best way. You just have to find out what way that is. And we have an enemy that tries to destroy us. So today I want to read some scriptures for you and then expound those scriptures. I believe will be a blessing to your heart. And for those of you that may be contemplating marriage, I recommend that. The Lord recommends that. His way. Marriage is honorable. And so it's an honorable thing to be married and raise a family. And just like this church family, it's a great thing to have a family, to be a part of a family. And so today, we're going to talk about a great marriage out of the Word of God. So first of all, I'd like to thank you for your support. My wife and I, she's unable to be with us today, but she sends her love. We have been in ministry for 54 years. We've been married 120 years, 60 for me and 60 for her. How did you get through? Well, we just fought it out like the old timers did. No, we did it the Lord's way. We didn't do it our way. We didn't do it somebody else's way. We tried to do it what the Lord wanted. You see, the Lord Jesus, when he came, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." So in a marriage, when you got two people together, sometimes they don't see eye to eye. So how are you going to settle those? Valentine's Day is coming up. My wife, I had to take her to the hospital, and she's going to have some tests, and she filled out a form. And at the end of it, it said, "Who is your hero?" You know what my wife put on that form at the hospital?
Jesus.
"My husband is my hero." She was very sick a few years ago. And when I was in the military, I worked between intensive care and the operating room and went to med school. So I nursed her back to health. And I read her the Word of God every night. And so the truth is, loved one, God's way is still the best way.
Amen.
Now, you had a verse on the back that said 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, it goes on to say, "And the greatest of these is charity." But it says what? Faith and hope and charity, which is love. But the greatest is what?
Charity.
Okay, now my friends are here today from faith. But that's not the greatest. But this is Brother Tim and Rochella Johnson. Tim is on my board. He helps keep me straight. He's had the privilege to travel with me last year a couple of times down on the Ohio River. And we were a blessing to that church, and they now have a pastor. And so God used us in a good way. So we thank you for your support. And most of all, your prayer support. And a lot of the old folks, Jack and Taryn and Jeremiah and Michelle. I had the privilege to officiate the weddings. What do you think of that? I tied the knot. Thank the Lord it hadn't come loose yet. So we don't want your marriage to end in divorce. But sometimes they do. And that's a sad thing. But the Lord's got an answer for that, and I'm going to show it to you today. And you may have to get remarried, and the Lord's got an answer for that too. Some things are hard to understand until you understand that it's what the Lord's will was. I'll share one with you. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love suffereth what? Long. Well, what's the Greek word for long? Well, long, sign language. Sign language, this is long. You know what it says in the Greek? Not short. That's what long means, right? How short-tempered are you when you get frustrated and upset and out of the way with the one that you love the most? True love suffered long. So I'll pick up where I left off this morning. One of the best classes you ever take, but I've been to med school, but one of the best classes you ever take is called physiology. Physiology is the study of your body. Most men honestly do not understand how a woman works. How many of you have had a hard time with that? You don't have to raise your hand because you'll be in trouble when you go. How many of you women don't understand how a man works? Okay, that's called physiology, okay? Now, I knew medicine at the beginning when we were married, so I understood once a month what my wife went through for 4 days because I had sisters, and one of my sisters, oh, she had a horrible time. And so I understood what went on that one time. So for those 4 days, whether it was issues or not, I took the kids and we went shopping or we went to activities. I washed the dishes. I did the clothes. I'm up the floors. I helped her during that particular time only because I understood what was going on the inside. You see, one of the problems we see is just the outside. If someone throws a temper tantrum and they blow up and that's all you see. But you really don't understand what's going on. And that's the good thing about a doctor or someone. They can solve the problem, not just the effect of the problem. Amen? You don't want to keep having the same problem. If you're going down the road and you stumble over a rock, every time you go down the road, wouldn't it be nice just to remove the rock? So if there's a problem in your relationship, you need to understand what it is and remove it. Now, my wife and I, we had a biblical principle. We never went to bed angry at one another. You know what the Bible says? Let not the sun go down on your wrath. So we would fight like cats and dogs during the day, but come nighttime, we kissed and made up. And having a fight, one of the good things is you get to kiss and make up. But sometimes she was sort of stubborn and hard-headed and mean, ornery and low-down. And I would say, it's time to kiss, and she said, I'm not kissing you. So then I had to use my masculinity, because I'm 200 pounds, she's 100 pounds. So I pick her up and throw her on the floor gently and then jump right on top and make her kiss me because that was our principle, that's our promise. And so we had to kiss and make up before bedtime. Oh, I might tell you, I'm not a member of the woke society. I'm 80 this year and I'm 20th century. So if I say something wrong today, Tim will take care of it. So, all I'm saying, guys, is listen, learn how your mate works. What makes them mad? What makes them short-tempered? You know what the Lord said? Be angry, but sin not. Paul said it like this, put away anger. Let me give you a principle. You cannot fight with someone who will not fight with you. When the Lord was spit upon, he didn't spit back. When the Lord was buffeted, he didn't strike back. When they cursed him, he didn't curse back. That's the secret. It's called submission. Just as though a woman is to submit to her husband, you'll find in 1 Peter 3. It also says in Ephesians that the men are to submit to their wives in certain instances. So it's not wrong for a husband to agree with his wife that she's smarter than he is in some times. So it's not wrong for him to surrender and to submit to that. It's not a challenge to his leadership just to do that. So if I could encourage you to do one thing, is have patience. I know most of you here have lots of patience, but let your patience possess ye your souls. It's patience. One of the hardest things you ever have to do is wait, because you don't want to wait. You want it supersized, and you want it right now. But it's not wrong to wait. And let the Lord take care of some issues. Whether it's physical or financial or spiritual or emotional, let the Lord take that. And so my wife and I, we built our home upon the Word of God. That's the rock of salvation. That's a solid foundation. And so, if you build it on Christ, it's not going to fall. But if you build it on self, you build it on society, build it on anything else, it'll fall. Because I guarantee you the devil is smarter, he has more money, and you look at the world today, and how many of you believe he has more followers today than ever? And so I would warn you that the attack is upon you, but it's upon the position that you occupy as one. You're not two, you're one in the sight of the Lord. And so you only have one home, one foundation. So strengthen your home. Strengthen your family. Strengthen your mate. And so it's going to be a beautiful day, like the song said, Jewel, when we see Ernie and Doris, Bruce, and Matt, we're going to sing. As a family of God. Oh, it's great to have a family. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Just think of that. We're going to be together. So I want to show you some scripture today. I've got about 8 hours of preaching, but you don't have that much patience. I know, I can tell by looking at you. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24. And so thank you for your prayers and support for Kitty and I. This is our 54th year. In August, I'm supposed to preach the 25th anniversary in Canada for Tom and Betsy Klein. We started that church 25 years ago. And so you pray for them. They've done a great work. Matthew, please, let me share with you some things going to encourage your heart and hopefully bless you today. And show you where you're headed. Yeah, show you where you're headed. Matthew chapter 24. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. You see, people are interested in buildings and things. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. I've stood in that place in Jerusalem, and it's not there anymore. There's just a couple of columns. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Loved one, they ask a question. What's going to be the sign of the second coming? How many of you are looking forward for the coming of the Lord? Say amen. It's going to be a great time. When the Lord comes, you know what's going to happen? Listen to this. He's coming for the church, and the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. Going to get good here in a minute. Just hang on. So turn over to Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. So how was it when God destroyed the old world? How was it when Christ came 2,000 years ago? How was society this morning when you got up in America and in the world? Verse 37. Let's read it in unison for the Lord. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Look at verse 39. And they knew not. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not. Look at verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not. And look, verse 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. He looketh not. You see, most people, they know not, they knew not, they don't think, and they look not for the righteousness of God today. Sin is rampant on every part. The attack is upon the home and upon the church and upon Christianity, because Christianity is the true religion of the world. There's only one God and one Savior, one faith, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn again, if you would, please. Let's go to, for lack of time, Matthew chapter 19. Now, some folks, while you're in Matthew here, Matthew chapter 19, some folks have had the heartache of going through divorce. So in Matthew chapter 19, the Lord teaches about divorce. And I would say to the preachers that's here today, Brother Leo and Brother Chris, one of the most misinterpreted portions of Scripture is Matthew 19, Genesis chapter 6, concerning the makeup of marriage. Look at Matthew chapter 19. They asked the Lord about divorce, and this is what was going on during the time of Christ. Verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, did they really want to know the answer? No. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for their, how many? Every cause. You see, the problem was the Jews, when Christ came, they were putting their mates away and practicing wickedness and perversion for every reason. You could get a divorce. But that's not under Mosaic law. In Deuteronomy 24, there was only one reason you could get a divorce, and that was for fornication. So when the Lord uses this privately to teach his disciples, he's showing them Mosaic law and the condition that it was then. He's not establishing some new law or a reason for someone to put away their wife or their husband. Look, if you would, please, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have you not read? That's the problem. That which was made them from the beginning made them male and female. And said, for this cause shall man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be, how much? One flesh. You cannot divide one flesh. If you do, it will die. Divorce is the death of marriage. Verse 6, wherefore there are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. When I was a boy, you could not get a divorce except you wait a year. The law would not give you a divorce quickly. So what did Las Vegas do? They said, come out to our state, and you can get a divorce tonight and get married in the morning. All that the problem was they destroyed the time limit. They don't want you to think. Who doesn't want you to think? The devil doesn't want you to think. The devil doesn't want you to wait. The devil doesn't want you to work it out. He wants you to fight and kill one another. And the sad truth is that's happened this week in America. Next verse. Verse 7, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? You see, the wicked will always come back on the man of God and try to say, well, you said one thing and now it's this way. No, the Lord quotes now Deuteronomy 24. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered or permitted you to put away your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. When God brought Eve to Adam, it was one man with one woman for one lifetime. And so that was God's standard. But man comes in and says, well, we can put them away for this cause or that cause. Well, one of the hard places in the Bible to understand is King David. Because King David committed adultery, and then he went a step farther and committed murder. Now, King David's going to be in heaven with us, okay? How can a man that commits murder and adultery go to heaven? Because God can forgive us for adultery or forgive us for murder. But one of the hard things that's marriage concerning King David to understand is that David had several wives. His son Solomon had how many women? 1,000 women. Where did all that come from? That was a status symbol for kings or for bigness. Go back to the beginning. Where did polygamy come from? The lineage of Cain. And Cain's son Lamech took unto himself two wives. And so the truth is, loved one, it wasn't God's standard. It was Cain's standard. It was a world standard. There's nothing any sweeter than one man to live with one woman for one lifetime. And that's a blessing. But everybody doesn't get to enjoy that blessing. So if you do go through divorce, the Lord shows you that you can be used of Him. Watch what happened. He committed adultery with a woman called Bathsheba. The penalty was the child died. But God gave them another son. Who was that son? Solomon. But Solomon was a chosen child before the foundation of the world. It was God's will that King David and Bathsheba, down in Barbados, we call that Bathsheba, have a child, Solomon, because Solomon will rule and reign for him. Watch this. So King David, all he did was get ahead of God. Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, was in battle. David had him killed. If David had waited on God, most believe that Uriah would have died already in battle, and God would have given that woman to him. And I believe that. Because Solomon was the chosen child. So what did David do? He got ahead of God. How many of us? You're either ahead of God, you're behind God, or you don't even care what God said. And so many times today when people say we want to get married, I had a couple come and they said, we want to write our own marriage vows. I said, oh, that's wonderful. Go right ahead. They said, oh, that's great. Can we use the church and you marry us? I said, no. Find somebody else that'll marry you. Today, anybody can solemnize a marriage, but it hasn't always been like that. You had to get married by a religious institution. And if you had not come together as husband and wife, then the marriage could be what? Annulled, just as though it had never happened. So the truth is, loved one, marriage has been attacked in our society on multitudes of fronts. Let me show you the next one. Turn again, if you would, please. To John chapter 2. I've only got 10 minutes. So I have to come back next year and finish this. So in John chapter 2, when the Lord would start His ministry, where would He go? What would He do for His first? He was invited where? To a wedding in Cana of Galilee. I've been there. And so the truth is, loved one, look at this. He accepted the invitation. He went to the wedding and He participated in the wedding. And so the Lord understands the union of what a marriage really is about. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. This will be a help to some of you. If you are divorced or remarried, this will be a blessing to you. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. The Sadducees had come and asked the Lord about a man who had was married and his wife died, and someone else married her the second on, till 7, verse 29. Verse 8, therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her wife. Jesus answered and said unto them, let's read it in unison. You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying? And so the truth is, the Bible says that the angels in God do not marry. So it is in eternity. Right now, we have a relationship as husband and wife here. But I will not be over my wife and she won't be over me in heaven. We will have a different structure. We're all the children of God in eternity. All of the angels of God glorify God. All of the angels give praise and honor to the Lord. And so the beautiful truth is, there won't be any more, I don't want to do what you want me to do. Won't be no more arguments. Won't be no more second guessing, two opinions. Just be one opinion. Truth and righteousness and beauty and glory and honor. Oh, I've got to share this with you. Oh, Lord, help me. I only got 5 minutes, Pastor Leo. If you've never seen the pictures taken by the James Webb telescope, go home today and look at them. For years, God made all the heavens and the stars, and now you see the galaxies. Did you know, Billy Graham said, when we die and go to heaven, God is so great, He could give every one of us our own planet. That's true. Well, Billy hadn't seen James Webb. Deep space reveals that there's billions of galaxies. God not only could give you a whole earth, He could give you the whole galaxy. Unbelievable, the beauty of heaven. The heavens declare the glory and the beauty of heaven. And so just as we enjoy the relationship here, we can enjoy that relationship in heaven. All right, let me give you one more. Go to Romans chapter 7. Got to share this with you. Romans chapter 7. Did you know that the Bible pictures a Christian as married to Christ already? Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 3 and 4. Listen to what the Bible says. So if then while a woman's husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, watch this, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Let's read verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him, Jesus, who is raised from the dead, and that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And so the beautiful truth is, where are you headed? All right. Only have a couple minutes. So where are you headed? Well, I know where I've headed. I need a help meet. All right. Tim, you come. Brother Ed, please. These are my help meets today. I'll show you where you're headed. Just back up there a little bit so everybody can see. Okay. Brother B.M. Page said one time, he said, Brother Murphy, if my wife called me today and told me she was leaving me, he said, I'd tell her, pack my bags, I'm going with you. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Listen to this, and gave himself for it. 100%, give yourself to your wife. Eternity past, eternity future. Creation of the world, Adam and Eve, Noah, Mrs. Noah, Abraham and Sarah. Did you know Abraham and Sarah had the same father, Terah? They had different mothers, but Sarah was Abraham's sister. Moses, and then down to Christ 2,000 years ago. So for 2,000 years, we have been in the dispensation or a time period known as the age of grace or the age of the church. You stand right here at 2023. This is the next thing to happen on God's plan. You see, you can have your plan, but God can change man's plans. Amen? Amen. This is God's plan. And all you got to do is read. You do err because you haven't read. You need to read. And read with the understanding. And know and learn. Study to show thyself approved unto God. This is 2023. So basically, I know where you're headed. You have a 7-year tribulation period. You have a 1,000-year millennial reign to eternity future and the great white throne and eternity future when time will be no more. You and I are regulated by time. Time has nothing to do with God. Everything is present to God. He saw you the day He created the world. He saw your birth, your death. He sees you resurrected and seated with Him already in heaven. Glory to God, I'm going to be with Bruce and with all these other saints of God. Amen? That's eternity future. So, watch this. This will help you. The tree of life, God had to protect. You don't find the tree of life until here in Revelation. Since I'm out of time. Marriage, Adam and Eve. Watch this. One family, Noah and Mrs. Noah. One family, Abraham and Sarah. Moses, one little baby floating down a river, go get his people. Christ, the true Savior of the world. God Himself. All that man had upon the face of the earth for these years was the spoken word of God. That's all they had. God said, write. Now you have the written word of God. But from the last 2,000 years, you have a copy in your hand of a completed revelation of God. If anybody ought to know God's plan, It ought to be you today. You and I have access to the revelation of God, the last book of the Bible. Well, what's the last book of the last chapter say? I'm glad you turned. I'm out of time, boys. Roll that up. Matt's going to put the handcuffs on me. Turn last of all to Revelation. Pastor Leo, I took 4 minutes extra. Please look. This will bless your heart. I'll show you where you're headed. Revelation, please. The last of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. Let's start there. I just want to show you one thought before you're going to wind up. If you're a Christian, it's called the marriage of the Lamb. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. Let's read it in unison. For the marriage of the Lamb is come and is... Who made it ready? The wife. In Scripture, the wife is Israel. The wife of Jehovah is Israel. In the New Testament, the bride is the bride of Christ. Look out, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. I've been studying all month. I got all kinds of things to preach. Revelation chapter 21, please, verse 9. Let's stand, if you would. Pastor Leo, you come. Verse 9. Where am I headed, Pastor Murphy? Well, if you're a Christian and you love the Lord, and you've received Him as your Lord, as your Savior, then you're headed in a good direction. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And I know where you're headed. You're headed to a wedding. Yeah. It's amazing that the Lord uses that and did all through His life. And there's many other instances I could have showed you. I did not have time. But I do have time to tell you that God loves you. And because He came to this earth to die for us, we can have forgiveness of sins. And so, loved one, if you have a bad kid, don't beat yourself up and blame yourself and die sad. Adam and Eve, their child committed murder, killed their second child. I cry when I think about what Adam and Eve had to go through. And so in the Word of God, it says in the Old Testament, I don't have time to show you, but it says this, you can look it up. Every child shall give an account for his own doing. And so, yes, we all can say, I wish I'd have done more. But the truth is, loved one, it was an individual choice. They made a choice. They had the same opportunity you and I did to choose righteousness. And they must make that choice. We can't choose it for them because salvation is not by the will of man or the will of the flesh, but it's by Almighty God. And so, whatever your position of married, divorced, remarried, or children that's not right with God, you keep serving the Lord. God's way is still the best way. Heavenly Father, thank you for this another day that you've given us. I pray that you bless your people today. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and say, preacher, I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. I know I need to be. Pray for me in closing prayer. Anyone by an uplifted hand? I'd not embarrass you, but I'd pray for you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? Pray for me. God bless you, sister. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else before we close? Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that you'd work in the hearts of this loved one and that you would show them that you love them and that they can have forgiveness of sins and a gift of God, which is eternal life. And they can have a life that's pleasing unto thee. So help them, Lord, as they make their decision. With heads still bowed, how many Christians are here? Say, preacher, God spoke to my heart today, and by God's grace, I'm going to try to be more like Christ and put the word